you for having me here today. Thank you, Pastor Bill, for your encouragement. I must say, it's pretty nerve-wracking to be here. In another life, I was a competitive dancer. At one point on Dancing with the Stars, some of you may know. And the studio audience was about 300 people. And I believe the viewer audience at the time was about 28 million. And I don't remember feeling as nervous as I do now. I come to you very humbly, sinner saved by grace. And I'll give you a little background of who I am. My family's here, my wife and little boy there, and my brother and sister-in-law Irina and Alyssa downstairs, and my mother's with us. My father had passed, but I believe he'd be here too. I grew up in a Christian home as far back as I could remember. In fact, my early memories were in my parents' home hosting music, song nights, where members would come together and sing. And that's the earliest I can remember was the Word of God and singing and praising God in the home as a child. I used to lay there and listen as it would go on. I think I was very fortunate to have parents that both loved and feared the Lord and instilled that in us as well. I would say that life went pretty well for us. The Lord had protected us, provided us with a home, and looked out for every one of our needs. Although we didn't have the most, I think the first bike I had was a pink one. It was a hand-me-down, a banana seat, and it had the streamers on the side, which I promptly cut off. Those little streamers. But I don't remember wanting. Things were going well. I had been a believer, I think, since 6 or 7 years old. I remember having a baptism. And then around 14, really coming to understand the sin that was within me and my real dependence on the Savior. The real challenge in my faith came when my father, who was a pastor, I think it was 89, he was ordained. He was in radio sales and a variety of other things, and he felt called to become a pastor, and he left everything and used to drive from Milwaukee, that's where we were from, down here to go to seminary. And he got sick, I want to say it was around 96, when he had hepatitis and developed cirrhosis of the liver. And he passed in 2008, and I can tell you it still haunts me watching that man, my hero, wither away and die. A man of God. Sure, he had a life like all of us, and he was a sinner, but from the time I could remember, he had given his life to God, and I couldn't reconcile how a man who dedicated his life to God could go that way. But he remained faithful, and he's with the Lord. And that was the first true test of my faith. And I'm sorry to say I didn't pass it super well. In fact, I shook my hand at God. I always wonder what it would take to do that, and I did it. I was angry, not because I didn't think God wasn't there. I know that's something we're prone to do, right? Things don't go our way. Where is God? But I knew God was real, and I knew He could have saved him, and He didn't. I didn't understand his purposes at that time. So, I decided to do the one thing that God couldn't control and wanted. And that was take away the relationship I had with him. Because God couldn't make me keep that relationship. What can you do to an all-powerful, almighty God? Needless to say, from that point on, things didn't get a whole lot better for me. I kept it up pretty good. I was blessed despite my upsetness with God. He continued to bless our lives and protect us through many things. Blessed my career, blessed our business. I was able to achieve and great things in the dance industry and in the business as a whole. And the Lord never left our side throughout all of that. And I attribute a lot of that to my mother back there. A strong woman of faith who never gave up. kept it all together to this day, fighting the good fight. It was October, funny enough. I was just at the hotel at a national conference. We just flew back yesterday. And it dawned on me that it was October 26th, that was a Monday, in 2009. My dad had passed away in 08. And then because of time, I won't get into it now, but I had been given a business mentor in 1999 when I started with the Fred Astaire Dance Studios. I was given a business mentor, and his name was Joe Josephs. And for some reason, I still don't understand to this day, I trust the Lord, Joe Josephs was diagnosed with the same thing my father had. It wasn't a year later that I was in the same hospital with the same doctor watching yet another pass away. So from 06 to 09, it was pretty dark. And in 2009, October 6th, I remember the Lord impressing upon me that I needed to start reading the Word. Not as I had as a child watching my father up there, or as I would call it, kind of that Abrahamic covenant where I felt, well, I must be okay. But I had to start learning and reading. And I was still upset with God. I said, yeah. But I knew it. It wasn't a burning bush. It wasn't some lightning strike. But I knew I had to start reading it. So I started with the book of Daniel and did not stop. And it was about 6 or 7 years, but it took me to read through this book from start to finish for the first time. And I knew I was not reading it at that time simply for my own edification for myself, but I was reading it because I needed to know how to explain it to others. And things started to change over that time, and as I started to read this book and as I started to digest it, the Lord was speaking. The Lord was comforting. And it became clear that my will and the Lord's will were not in line as I would have liked it to be, as we would like it to be many times. And I finally came to the point where faith has led me to understand that God's will, I may never know why He does the things He does, and that it's part of the faith to believe and to trust and to stay steadfast. Well, I understood I had a sin problem. I don't think that was any problem. I had a rebellious heart. As young as I was, my mother would be sweeping in the kitchen and get all of her nice little dust piles in a row ready to sweep up, and I would come through as a toddler and look at that pile and look at her sweeping another pile, kick it, and run. Rebellious and sin is a problem. Sin's a problem for all of us, isn't it? From the Adam on down, we have a sin problem. What sin does is it separates us from God. We were in union with God at the beginning. That's how it was designed. That's what this world was created for. We were designed to be in communion with God, but because of our sin, we became separate. God is holy, and therefore God cannot be near sin. And because we have sin on us, separation occurred. I'm going to open the Bible here. If you have one, turn with me. We're going to look a little bit on a road that's pretty well known, and yet we have not traveled it together. I believe it's called the Roman Road. I have to keep my timer here because if you ask my wife, this could go on till next week. We start here, Romans 3:10. Says, there is no one righteous, not even one. That's all of us. 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All. This is not a sliding scale. This is not I'm not as bad as so-and-so, or look at the good I've done. This is all of us. We all have a sin problem that needs to be addressed. Jump over to 5:12, same book, Romans. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, in this way death came to all men because all had sinned. Now we understand we have a death that comes to all of us. Nobody likes that, but this is talking about another kind of death. This is a second death. This is a death that keeps us separated from God for an eternity. And that's scary. And that's something that we need help with. We can't make this on our own. This is where we're at. Sin is debt. Sin is debt to God. It's disobeying His will. It's disobeying His laws. And it's something that, if we're honest, we all do this every single day, even as believers. Sin is still a problem in this world. Sin is not a debt we can pay back. For time, I'm going to keep moving. There's a parable, if you get a chance, read Matthew 18, starting in verse 23. Parable of an unforgiving servant. The fact is, the debt that we have, that we owe to God, is too great for any one of us to repay if we even lived a perfect life from this point on. And something must be done. I don't know about you, but this is a pretty sad story. If we looked at Romans 6, 23, for the wages of sin is death. And that's Alpha, just the first half. For the wages of sin is death. I know we like to focus on the fact that God is love, and God is love. We're going to get to that. Thank the Lord that the story doesn't end here. But let's not forget, folks, God is just. God is holy. He is separate. And there is a wrath of God we see on this world. I'm going to make you feel a little worse before I bring you back up. I promise I will not leave you in this state. In Romans chapter 1, verses 21, starting at verse 21, and this is what I like to consider the nightly news. And I call it the nightly news because what I'm about to read to you, if you pay attention, you can easily translate it to what you will see any given day when you turn on the news and see what's going on in the world right now. See if this sounds familiar with the state we are in with this sin. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man, birds, animals, and reptiles. Therefore God gave them over to sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. This is the truth that I hold here. They're not interested. And they worshipped and served the created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, He gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, and greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. And when I read this, I'm inclined to say, well, at least those aren't me. It continues, they are gossips and slanderers and God-haters and insolent, arrogant and boastful. I usually pick on gossips because that seems like the smallest one. Hey, did you hear about so-and-so, what they just did? This is sin. Wishing bad on others, this is sin, which I am guilty. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They're all downstairs. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, rootless, and although they know God's righteous decree that those who do these things deserve death, they continue to do these things. Not only do these things, but approve of those who practice them. Be careful, folks. We may want to separate ourselves from sin, but we got to be careful that in the name of love, we're not approving sin. If you got a brother and sister who's disobeying your mother or father, would you applaud that? Say, good job. Not listening to mom and dad. We got to be careful of that. This is the sad story. This is the sad story. Ready for the good part? Been ready. There is hope. If we look to Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it said, for the wages of sin is death. But it doesn't end there. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wait a second. this can change. Who is this Christ Jesus, our Lord? Romans 5, verses 6 and 8. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. That's me. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There it is. There's love. Yes, it's a just God. Yes, it's a holy God. And yes, there is a wrath of God. But this is what we are given. Love of God. Shown. Who is this Christ? Who is this man? Let's go to John. Chapter 3. I want to know more. Jesus was here. He walked this earth, this Christ Jesus that is told to be the eternal life. Jesus is speaking here of himself. One of his favorite phrases was to call himself the Son of Man. Picking up in verse 13. No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who has come from heaven, the Son of Man, that is Jesus Christ. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. And this you may be familiar with. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. That is the life of heaven. For God did not send his own Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. I want that to be me. I don't want to be condemned and separated. How do I believe on this man, Jesus? What must I do? Romans chapter 10, verses 9-13. I don't want to be condemned. What must I do? Here is your answer. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that is the Son of God who has come here to pay the debt for our sins, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. 13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is our way. This is our chance to right the wrongs with God. God provided what we could not in his Son, that if we confess, we may be saved, that we can be reconciled, that sin can be washed away with the blood and that sacrifice that Christ made for us and in our place. That debt has been paid. It is standing there. All you have to do is reach out and take it. What do you feel? Do you feel that all the faiths and religions of the world that tell you, you just work harder, you just do better, you just have to have more right than wrong on your scale when you get to heaven? Or do you know in your heart as you sit here, like I do, I have no chance if that's what it takes. Jesse ain't going to make it. I need a Savior. Do you? You have that opportunity here. Some of you may be here for the only time. And you have that opportunity. I want to pray with you. But if you in your heart know that you are in need of a Savior, if you know in your heart that something is not right in that relationship with God, you've got a hole that you just can't fill. Stuff isn't filling it. People aren't filling it. Your husband, your wife, your mom, your dad, your kids. But there's still a hole there. It's the Jesus hole. Let's fill that now. Pray with me if you will. And in your heart, confess. Dear Lord, we come to you and thank you for this opportunity. We thank you that although we are sinners, although I am a sinner, Father, that you have provided a way to be reconciled. You've provided a way to pay for the sin through your Son, Jesus Christ. And I confess, Lord, that I could not make it to heaven on my own. And I place my faith in Jesus and in His sacrificial work to redeem me and cause me to be justified and righteous in your sight, that when you look on me, you see your Son. Help me, Lord, to grow in faith and knowledge of Christ. Although I may not know much now, I place my faith on you, knowing I need a Savior and trusting that your word is true. Jesus, come into my life this day and save me from this separation from God. Lord, you are the true Creator and true God, and it is with you I entrust my spirit and my eternity. In Christ's name, amen. If you prayed that wholeheartedly today, I'd like to welcome you to the saved, to the good news. That's all it takes, kind of. It's not a card and sign your name on a dotted line and continue on. But if you know that you are a sinner in need of saving, and you prayed that prayer just now, the Lord is faithful. What do you do now? Now you got to grow. We don't have time to go there. But if you look at 2 Peter, I'll just read it for you. Don't worry about getting there. But grow in grace and knowledge. Grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord our Savior Jesus Christ, and forever be the glory, now and forever. Grow in grace and knowledge. You say, how do I do that? You say, I know that I'm missing what you're talking about, but I don't know where to go from here. This is it. This is the Word of God. It's the Bible. This is the truth that men are suppressing. This is the truth that people don't want to hear. They're heaping up for themselves people who will tell them what they want. There's things in here I don't like. There's things in here I don't want to be true, but yet they are, because this is the Word of God. Read this book you have available to you. As we were just talking about, there's people in this world who don't have this availability. You have the availability to commune with the Almighty God of this universe any moment you want. But you got to read this book. When people say, I think I'm saved, but I don't hear God, I don't. He revealed Himself in this book. If you want to know God, if you want to have a relationship with Him, you have to open this and you have to read it. And if you don't know where to start, ask someone. They will help you. I don't care what version you read. Somebody said this version, that. Listen, you know what the best version of the Bible is? The one you're going to open up and read. The one you're going to open up and read. Go and spread. Cool verse I like. If you had just prayed that prayer with us, I'll leave you with this as my time is coming to an end. Romans. Ooh, we like Romans. Chapter 8. Verse 31. 38. Romans chapter 8, 38. This is it. Listen to this. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. There is nothing that can be done when you turn on the news and you see the scary and you see how quickly this world is falling. Understand that that is a testament to the true words in this book. And there is nothing out there that can separate us from our Savior, from our God, from our Jesus. Read and learn. I think I read Romans 10. I swear, this will be the last one. This is it. Okay? Romans, now we read this, 10 and 9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Jumping down to 13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I hope you did that just now. If you hadn't done it prior to this, know that. It continues. Now what? We know we have to grow. It continues in verse 14. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. Folks, if you've heard that good news today, that despite sin, despite our separation, you can be reconciled with God, do not keep that to yourself. You have people that you're in contact with at work, at home, maybe your hobbies, and there are people who need this and are searching for this. Don't keep this light to yourself. Share this gospel with those who are searching. Thank you for your time.